In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You may be seated. Shatamia Taylor was involved in a protest in Dallas, Texas on July 7th, protesting the black man killed earlier this month in Minnesota and Baton Rouge. She was shot and injured by the terrorists on that fateful evening of July 7th. The 37-year-old woman was shot in the leg as she shielded her teenage son. I watched the press conference on this past Sunday, July 10th, at which she answered questions from the media. She praised the police officers who protected and saved her life, as there were several on top of all of them to make sure that they would not suffer further injury. Taylor said she was surrounded by police officers who had no regard for their own lives, but only to help those in danger. She made several references in the press conference to her praying to God for mercy and protection of her sons and everyone else during that harrowing ordeal. Ms. Taylor's comments were very poignant about the police having no regard for their own lives, but only to shield and protect their fellow citizens. This goes right along with what the Apostle Paul was speaking of in Philippians 2, in which he commends two honorable servants of God, Timothy and Epaphroditus, who were concerned about the welfare of the Philippians as they ministered the gospel and served the Lord. So this morning, I want us to think about what we can learn from the godly example of other believers. First, we learn of their humble concern for others. The Apostle Paul commends both Timothy and Epaphroditus in their selfless service to God and the Philippian church. Paul says of Timothy in Philippians 2:20 that he was genuinely concerned about their welfare. This certainly implies that we can know what is good for someone, whether our neighbor or a fellow believer, and what is in their common interest. But in addition, not only did these men know what was best for others, but they practiced it. Paul says of Timothy in Philippians 2:22 that the Philippians knew of Timothy's proven worth or proven character. Timothy was consistently practicing his faith in such a way that he had a proven track record. He followed a consistent lifestyle and pathway of doing what was good and beneficial to others. Timothy conscientiously showed that he cared about the needs of others. He had no secret agenda to get something over on someone, but instead had integrity in how he lived so that others could actually trust him and that he was trustworthy. Both men were a model of humility outlined in Philippians 2, 1 through 11. Epaphroditus also had consistently followed the pathway of humility in that he does not seek just his own well-being, but also and foremost the well-being of others. He had been prepared to lay down his life for the sake of the gospel. And thus he is a visible reminder that Jesus is Lord, and it shows in his life and his decisions and his priorities. Just as I mentioned in my opening illustration, there was no ulterior motive in police officers running toward gunfire instead of the other way. They weren't selfish, they were selfless, protecting for the common good of the public, to serve and to protect. This was not just a slogan to quote or to paste on a police car. It was a truth that they lived for and died for. The same integrity was true of Timothy and Epaphroditus. For being a Christian in the first century could get you executed. So there was no hidden or selfish motives in professing faith in Jesus Christ other than you actually believed it. Just as today, in the lands of Iraq and Iran, many parts of the Middle East, there's no beneficial reason to say you're a Christian other than you actually believe it. Because you can be executed at any moment by the government or by just villagers who can't stand Christians. And so we see the example of Epaphroditus, that he risked his life spending his life in ministry for the cause of Christ. At some time recent to Paul's writing, Epaphroditus' health was poor and he almost died. In the first century, it was common for people to die while on a trip. You came across some sickness such as pneumonia, or you became sick from bad water. Traveling was not just an easy thing to do. It had risks that went with it. Depending on where you were when you became sick, largely influenced whether or not you recovered. If you were not anywhere close to an inn or a place to rest and recover, your health was in jeopardy. And so it's not unusual for people who were in good health to start out on a trip, and they died during that trip for those very reasons. Epaphroditus was distressed because he knew the Philippians had heard of his sickness, but not of his recovery. And so Paul wanted to let them know that Epaphroditus was well again. Paul rejoiced that Epaphroditus was delivered from his sickness. So the Apostle Paul rejoices that God spared him sorrow upon sorrow. Paul is not rejoicing or relishing in bad things that happened to us, but he does thank God that the Lord had spared him misery upon misery. One sorrow that Paul was going through at this very moment in his life as he wrote this letter was his own imprisonment. An imprisonment that he wasn't sure was going to end in his execution or his release. Well, God spared him from another sorrow, and that's the death of Epaphroditus, and for that, Paul rejoices. Second, we can also learn from Epaphroditus and Timothy in their faithfulness to the gospel. He speaks of Timothy and Epaphroditus' faithfulness to the gospel, as Timothy was serving with Paul for the furtherance of the gospel. Just as Paul was faithful in proclaiming and living the good news of Jesus Christ, Timothy also, as a spiritual son of Paul, followed in this same faithful path of discipleship. Paul also says of Epaphroditus that he was a brother, a fellow worker, and a fellow soldier in Philippians 2:25. This shows Epaphroditus' loyalty to Paul and his godly courage to hang in there with Paul when his own health was at risk, and when associating with Paul could also risk your own imprisonment. Both of these men proved to be faithful followers of Christ and helpful in service to the church. They were trustworthy and someone people could count on. Since these faithful men were faithful in their service to the Lord, these are the very men that Paul wants to use to bless the Philippian church. And they would be useful in teaching the Christian church the truths of the Christian faith. And they would also... The joy that Paul speaks of is not in a denial of evil or injustice, but he views all of our suffering in the light of the hope of the gospel. So in other words, sickness doesn't have the last word. Suffering doesn't have the last word. Injustice doesn't have the last word, and neither does sin. The joy that Paul speaks of in this letter is the fact that Christ overcame sin and death by his death, resurrection, ascension, which will all foreshadow Christ's second coming. And so we can take that as a hope. Three out of the four have already happened. Christ's death, his resurrection, and ascension. And so at times when we wonder, is Jesus ever going to come back? Three out of the four we're already assured of, and that gives us further confidence of Christ's second coming. As the people of God, we know both of suffering and also of joy. And so that should give us hope that our labor in the Lord is not in vain. Jesus' own path of humble obedience included his weeping in agony both at his friend Lazarus' death And also on the night in which he was betrayed, as he sweated great drops of blood in Gethsemane. Timothy and Epaphroditus exemplify this faithful service to the Lord in the face of suffering and sacrificial obedience. Third, we can learn from the godly example of others as we view Paul's own trust in God in the moment. Let's remember in this passage that Paul expresses his desire to see the Philippians face to face. But in case that plan to see them personally does not work out, he plans to send Epaphroditus and Timothy. Paul is modeling what it means to trust in the Lord in the moment. Like Paul, we cannot do anything about the past or the future. All we can do is trust in God in the moment. We can't do anything about Tuesday or Saturday. We need to trust God today. Like Paul, we're in the same boat. But Paul's counsel is to trust God right now. Whether you think your circumstances right now are ideal or not. Remember, Paul is in jail. He would like nothing better than to be released from prison and visit these people. But that may not work out. So Paul makes a plan, if the Lord wills, and he can't see them, then some other trusted servant of God will see them and build them up in the faith. But in any case, Paul was trusting God in the now, for good or for ill. Trusting in the here and now is the trial of our faith. And let's face it, we don't like some things in the here and now. We don't like our present moment. We wish things were different. We often become fixated about the past with grief and disappointment. If only I could have, would have, should have. We can also become weighed down with anxiety about the future. We need to imitate the Apostle Paul's words earlier in this letter. For me to live is Christ and die is gain. But if I am to live on in the flesh, this will mean fruitful labor for me. And I do not know which to choose. But I am hard-pressed from both directions, having the desire to depart and be with Christ, for that is very much better. The Apostle Paul was willing to live in service to God and his church, but he was also willing to die and depart and be with Christ in heaven. It's just that at the moment of this letter, he didn't know which it was. He knew that day he was to live. The Apostle Paul, again, was one who saw the reality of sin, but also that God's grace is greater than all our sin. And so, like this past week and 2 weeks and a month ago and a year ago and 15 years ago, we might say, when will terrorism stop? I don't know. But serve God and trust God in the moment. For what you like and for what you detest about your present moment. He trusted in the Lord in the present moment with all its messiness, injustice, and tension caused by Adam's sin and our own sin. But Paul also commended himself fully to the Lord and his providential will for our lives. We can learn from the godly examples of others and learn to imitate their faith in Christ and their faithful ways, which will be a testimony of the reality of Christ's work in us and for us. Let us pray. Direct us, O Lord, in all our lives, and with your gracious favor, strengthen us by your continual help, that in all our works begun, continued, and completed in you, we may glorify your name. Help us to trust in you, to love you, and to serve you. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.